In the beginning of your notes, there's an opening paragraph, and it starts with a critically important question. I encourage you to just underline that question. Underline it, circle it, whatever it takes to get your attention so you'll come back to this. So please come back to this question. What does it take to be a witness for Christ? What does it take to be a witness for Christ? How about a special calling? Is that what it takes to be a witness for Christ? How about the spiritual gift of evangelism? Is that what it takes to be a witness for Christ? How about self-confidence? Is that what it takes? How about years of Bible school or a degree in apologetics? A radio voice, good looks, etc. I think you may have guessed where I'm going with this. While any of these things might work for you, underline these words. It's not about me. Please, underline those words. Underline them. It's not about me in being a witness for Christ. It is not about me. Think of what Jesus said. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, and in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. As we've experienced the witness of the Holy Spirit throughout this long study that we've done in our study of Acts, we've been inspired and challenged to carry on in the power of the Spirit to be His witnesses. We close this study with a charge. Be a winsome witness. Do you know that word winsome? Are you a winsome witness? What is a winsome witness? Word winsome. Somebody give me a couple words that would describe winsome. Self-confident? You know, is that like, Doris, do you mean self-confident like, yeah, I want to tell you today about Jesus. Living it out? Okay, it's got to do with living it out. Write this down for the word winsome. The word winsome means a beautiful and attractive person in that person's, the beautiful and attractive in countenance and countenance and character. A winsome witness has a beautiful countenance and character. I've often said about people, is that guy good looking? You know, I've maybe said that to a woman because, you know, a couple guys don't necessarily like to be talking about a good looking guy. But is that woman, is she beautiful? There's some women in this, a lot of women in this church, a lot of them that I think are beautiful. Now, don't think the pastor is eyeballing women, okay? See, the deal is, a winsome witness is somebody whose countenance radiates peace and joy, and it's a person that's comfortable inside of his or her skin, and a person that is winsome is just when they speak, they have the other person in mind. They're not all self-absorbed. They're just not self-absorbed. I feel comfortable just if I ask you, so what's your story? I just am comfortable listening to you. I ran into a winsome runner on Friday. I wasn't running, I was walking, and I was being passed by someone who has often passed me in the dark on, you know, the mornings of the week. I leave my house at 5:15, and I'm walking up Russell Avenue, and And suddenly I heard these familiar, that's a lot of steps, you know. They're happening like that. And this young woman, tall, I never can see her face because she's always running by me. But she comes running by me and she said, "Morning." And then she slowed down to my pace. And she's running my pace. And she said, "Can I ask your name?" And I said, "Oh, I'm John." And she's about 50 years younger than me. And I said, "What's yours?" And I won't tell you what her name is. But it was like just in these few, I said, "How far do you run every week?" "Oh, 30 to 35 miles." I went, 30 to 35 miles. But you know, this young woman absolutely doesn't need to talk to an old guy like me. Doesn't need, but she was just very winsome. It was just like, she said, "Well, see you later." And off she ran. She was a winsome runner. I can't call her a jogger because she's not jogging, she's running. A winsome witness is somebody who feels comfortable talking about Jesus. And when they're talking about Jesus, they are really, they're not self-absorbed. They're thinking about the person that they're talking to. They look into their eyes. They're just so happy to be just together. Think of the promise of Jesus. In the very, you've got the book of Acts open. You want to just turn right back to this promise, but the words are also right there printed in your notes. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Actually, Jesus just said, "Well, you're not going to know when I'm coming back." Verse 7. "You're not going to know when I'm coming back. It's not given to you to know the times and the seasons, but you will receive power." You will receive power. Say those words. Would you please say those words right now like you understand it? Just put the emphasis where you want to right now. Ready? Begin. Okay, somebody put the emphasis on "you will receive power." That's good. You will receive power. You will receive power when? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses where you live and way beyond where you live. So as we've gone through the book of Acts, we've been just, the outcomes are just, you just kind of follow, you work your way through the book of Acts, and you'll see these ordinary people from many different walks of life becoming witnesses as the Holy Spirit. And what does a witness do? What does a witness do? A witness tells what they've seen. They tell what they've experienced. A witness talks about what they've heard. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it's only going to be natural that you're going to talk about what you saw and heard. It's just, you know, I've been witnessing to the wonder of Trader Joe's what's the word I'm looking for? It's the ginger snap cookies. How many of you like Trader Joe's ginger snap cookies? Well, let me tell you something. They have a great benefit for a diabetic. I have 4 to 6 of those at night with a cup of tea, and my blood sugar in the morning is right on. Right on. Unless I've eaten too much all day, you know, then it's... So I'm a witness to Trader Joe's ginger snap cookies. They're good. What's it take to be a witness for Christ? What's it take? First thing, it takes the Holy Spirit. And who has the Holy Spirit? Who has the Holy Spirit in this room? Who has the Holy Spirit? This is a participation. I want to count nickels and noses here. I want to see noses. Who has the Holy Spirit? Seriously. Well, if you're a follower of Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses." And it's not about you. It's about the Holy Spirit empowering you. And that God will use your words. Don't worry about the results. Don't worry about it. God will use your words. Well, there's outcomes. There's the witness in Jerusalem. In chapter 2 and 3, we see the church exploding as Peter stands up and speaks, and the room is filled with the power of the Spirit, and people hear God's word spoken in their language, and they turn to Christ. They just turn to Christ. Was Peter responsible for the results? Do you think he was? Did he say, I've got a quota to fill today. I need 3,000 of you to stand up. And we need, okay. All right, he didn't have a quota. I don't know what his expectations were, but he said, I'm just going to tell them what I saw and what I heard. We had, you know, Jesus was crucified. He was brutally crucified. And you people in Jerusalem had something to do with it. You turned on him during that week. And he was raised from the dead. And the Holy Spirit did the communicating. Holy Spirit did it. Holy Spirit did it. You just follow every chapter. Peter, what was Paul's strategy when he, after he came to Christ and he met Christ on, there was really nobody. He just had an encounter with Jesus on the road, and he had a bunch of people who were bloodthirsty for Christians, and they were on their way to Damascus, and he encounters Jesus on the road to Damascus, and Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? What do you want me to do? And he gave his life to Christ. And he said, you are going to be my witness to the Gentiles. When Paul started to travel, he would go in to synagogues where he would find people that were just like him. They knew Yahweh. They knew him. They read his word week after week. He was a witness there not only to Jews, but also to Gentiles. Then there was the Jerusalem Council. Now, the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15, these Jewish Christians, they're struggling with this, and they're saying, we need to decide what we're going to do with this. We got to have some sort of a strategy because you know, man, Gentiles are coming to Christ. And can Gentiles really know Christ? But the evidence was in. And the church began to reach out, and Paul continued to reach out on his second and third missionary journeys. Chapter 28, Acts chapter 28. If you follow your notes, I want to just take us through this quickly. Chapter 28, verses, first, just hold your hand in chapter 28 and turn back to chapter 23, verse 11. I make this statement here. In your notes, it says, Paul knew why he was in Rome. How did he know why he was in Rome? All of a sudden, he got this free trip to Rome, courtesy of the Romans. Of course, he was in chains. Of course, he had a guard chained. He was chained to a guard, or the guard was chained to him. Captive audience, either way. But look at chapter 23, verse 11. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul. And Paul said, and the Lord said to him, take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. Think Paul knew why he was there? He knew. Chapter 26, verses 16 through 18. Chapter 26, verses 16 to 18. He's giving his testimony in verse 15. He asked, who are you, Lord? And he says, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. The Lord replied, now get up and stand your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have... A witness of what? Of what you have seen and heard of me and of what I will show you. You're going to be a witness of all that. I will rescue you from your own people And from the Gentiles, I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that you may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Take courage, Paul. You're going to Rome. Take courage. You're talking to Gentiles. Take courage. You're going to keep talking about me. I have appointed you to be a witness of what you've seen and heard. What's it take to be a good witness? It takes the power of the Spirit and God putting us where he wants us. You know, I read that scripture today. I read that text from Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Why? Because, you know, we all have good days and we all have bad days. Why do bad days surprise you? Why do they surprise me? They're going to come. Who knows? Could be this week. A month from now. We're going to have bad days. But if we have a sovereign God, we will never, ever be in a place that surprises him. As a matter of fact, he is sovereign even when we're being disobedient and we put ourselves in a place that we ought not to be. He's sovereign. And if you belong to him, he now has you where he wants you to be. He has a witness there, even when you and I were naughty and put ourselves there. Paul knew why he was there in Rome, and Paul was now in Rome, and he's living in his own house, a rented house, and he's got a guard chained to him, or he's chained to the guard. Either way, guard's going to hear about Jesus. Either way, he's going to have a lot of other people coming by his way. Paul took a winsome approach to ministry there in Rome. Chapter 28, verse 16. When we went to Rome, Paul, who's talking? When we went to Rome? Who's the we? Luke. So there's Luke and Aristarchus. They're all there. When we, along with Paul, got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the leaders of the Jews. And when they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people, or against the customs of our ancestors, I have done nothing against them. I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled, I had to play my trump card, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar. Not that I had any charge to bring against my own people. I didn't say I want to go to Caesar to bring down the hammer against my own people. Verse 20, for this reason I have asked to see you. For this reason I've asked to see you, you Jewish leaders. That's who he's talking to now from all over. I've asked to see you Jewish leaders and talk with you. And then he says this, you can underline these words, it is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain. Here's the circumstances. I have a sovereign God, and I happen to be bound by this chain. Now, it's the Roman chain, but I'm here because the Jewish leaders back there in Jerusalem, they wanted me done in, and they brought charges against me back there. But Paul took a winsome approach. What's his winsome approach? Just kind of see his personality, see his countenance, hear his words. He's looking into their eyes and he said, I wanted to talk to you. You're the leaders of the Jews here in Rome. And Jesus wanted me here. And I wanted to talk to you. Welcome to my home. Welcome to my home. And as he, welcome to my home, and as he gestures, welcome to my home, you can hear the chain rattling, can't you? Welcome to my home. Is this a great place? Is this, you mean you can show hospitality with a chain on your wrist? Can you do that? Do you think you could show hospitality to somebody with a chain on your wrist when you're actually a prisoner? Do you think prisoners who know Christ in one of the many California prisons, do you think a prisoner there can show hospitality? What's it take to show? What is hospitality? It is to make other people feel welcome. Welcome to your cell. Welcome to your rented house. Welcome to my hospital room. Welcome to my sick room. Welcome to this time in my life when I'm being kind of misunderstood and accused of a lot of things. Welcome to life with me now that we've lost our jobs. Welcome to my life. Seriously, welcome. We got something in common right now. Our kids are driving us nuts. Welcome. And we look into the eyes of people and we care more. We're not on display. We're just there to make people feel welcome. I've often talked about a lady that had the gift of hospitality. She's long since with the Lord. Florence Brown was a person that she and her husband Curtis, they entertained a lot of people in their home. The Quintanas live in their home now, but Florence had they just would have people over and they'd have these dinner parties, and I don't know the food was probably great, but it was just an honor to be in their home, just an honor. She was a lady who had the gift of hospitality. And when you went to her house, it was not all about her, it was about you. It was not about her, it was about you. That's hospitality. And then it got to a point in her life when she couldn't show hospitality in her home. I mean, she no longer had the physical ability to do that. She was aging and she couldn't cook like she wanted to cook, she couldn't clean like she wanted to clean, and yet, she was one of the most hospitable people I know, because right out here on the patio, she'd be welcoming people that would, Pastor, have you met? And she's just making other people feel welcome. A winsome personality just makes other people feel welcome. Paul took a winsome approach to ministry. And verse 20, I've already read verse 20. He built on common ground. He had this winsome approach to his mission there in Rome. I know why I'm here, and it's not about me, it's about you. And I want you, my Jewish brothers, to know Christ. He built on common ground, verse 20, when he said to them, the reason why I'm here is because I'm bound with this chain. And I got this chain on because God's people have always been looking for a Messiah. And I got this chain on because, you know, it's my people back in Jerusalem didn't believe as to why, they didn't believe that Messiah had come. And they didn't believe that they actually crucified the Messiah. And they didn't believe that Messiah was actually raised from the dead. They didn't believe that. That's why I've got the chain on. So he's building common ground with them. And he's saying, this is what we believed, didn't we? Here, you read the words. You read them. Read for yourself. That'd be really just see what he says. See what God says, because faith is always based on what God says. The next point is he accepted their invitation to say more. They replied, look at verse 21. They replied, we have not received any letters from Judea concerning you. We haven't heard anything about this. Didn't see that news blast. And none of the other brothers who have come here has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear your views. So they invited him to say more. For we are We know that people everywhere are talking about this sect. And so they arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. By now, people are talking there in Rome. From morning until evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God, where Jesus is king, and his kingdom lasts forever. And his kingdom is people who have turned their lives over to him. They've not been good enough, they've turned their lives over to him. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them in the power of the Spirit, my little parenthesis, from the law of Moses. He used the authority that God had, the law of Moses and the prophets. Some were convinced by what he had said, but others would not believe. They disagreed even among themselves and began to leave after Paul made this final statement: "The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people, now go to these people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused and they hardly hear with their ears. And they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn to God and heal them. Therefore, verse 28, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles. And they will listen. Paul accepted their invitation to say more. And he did stay and say more. And for two whole years, verse 30, for two whole years, Paul stayed in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. And boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's all sorts of really important questions, folks, in the back of your notes. Really important questions. Please mark it up. Please be personal. Please don't give a generic answer. Please be personal. I'm not responsible for the results of this message now. It's in your hands. Listen to God. Listen to him. This week, I got a letter from our missionary, Tom Ward. Tom and Barb minister to people from Pakistan and who come from that environment, who live in East London. And this is what Tom and Barb wrote about. They wrote about a trip that they took recently up to Oregon to visit some of their supporting churches. And then he writes this. I'm going to read a paragraph here and then just a few statements on the back. We did get caught up in an Oregon snowstorm, but God kept us from serious harm. We did not get stranded on the freeway. That was good because of this snowstorm. Nor did we have any accidents. We did have some scary driving, and when the state patrol closed the highway, we had to spend a second night in a hotel with no electricity. This is a snowstorm, folks. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? With no electricity or heat, with temperatures below freezing. Do I hear an amen? No, you don't. We spent one day in the lobby of the hotel with lots of other people, but we had some wonderful opportunities for witnessing, spending the whole day in the lobby with everybody else in the hotel because they didn't have heat in their rooms. See below for more details. We had to cancel our flight, but God has provided all that we need. Big hairy deal that it's cold and freezing and there's no heat. So this is what they write. Some divine appointments there along the way in Oregon, 2019. Praise God with us for many times that we saw him watching over us and leading us during all the adventures of those 12 days in Oregon. We were able to enjoy the treasures of the snow and witness. while being stranded, but not on the road in our car for hours like many others. In the hotel, we were stranded there with no electricity, and we had many opportunities to share Christ. Jeff was an archer with the U.S. Special Olympics team. He holds 2 world records. While he had come to terms of being an amputee, he had yet to come to terms with the meaning of his Creator. I was able to share my testimony with him and leave my track with him. Amen? Barbara spent most of the day talking with Nancy, a 20-year-old Army veteran serving as a nurse. She did not have a lot of spiritual interest, but did say when she was younger, she attended a VBS program taken there by her neighbors in Salem, Oregon. Another lady, Mary, allowed us to share a lot about Jesus with her. She said to us, "I'm going to remember what you said." Huh. Pray that she will invite the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, into her life. Just before leaving Portland, the owner of the hotel, Kieran, gave us a ride to the airport. Kieran is a Gujarati. I don't know if I said that right, from India. Where's Mitt? You should tell me. Pray that he will invite the true and living teacher, Jesus, into his life. He has written us an email. There are many other stories in the churches and along the way where we were able to share Christ and the hope of the gospel. Please pray that some will make decisions for Christ and become disciples. Thank you for praying for us over these last days. We have sensed the presence, peace, and power of God. We love you. You see, did you get this, guys? They were winsome witnesses in a freezing cold snow that they did not want to be in. They did not want to be in it. But hey, God's sovereign. God is sovereign. And they had an appointment in that motel. Amen? What do you think the appointments will be that God has for you? Well, some of them might surprise us. But if you have the Holy Spirit, and just about every one of you raised your hands, "I have the Holy Spirit," you have all the power you need. Now, just look somebody in the face, love them, listen to them, let your countenance just say, "I'm here for you. Welcome." Let's pray. Would you stand with me, please? We're going to close the service. I'm going to say this before I pray, because this is a news flash. News flash is, the tacos were $7. Actually, they still are. But somebody told me before the service started, I paid $150. The first 150 people to go get the taco plate, 4 tacos, rice and beans, and a soda. The first 150 get the taco plate for $6. Amen? Amen. Amen. And I think I'm letting you out ahead of El Calvario. So here we go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of opening your word. I thank you that over these many months, we've seen what you did because the Holy Spirit came and people spoke the name of Jesus and the power of the Spirit. Thanks, Lord. We love you. We thank you. Give us many opportunities to be a winsome witness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.